2 days from now comes Yom Kippur Day. And we read something that I think, something that happens only twice a year, is that we read a Haftorah twice. And we read Haftorahs twice a day. Once on Tisha B'Av, and once on Yom Kippur. I'm interested not in that commonality, nor in Tisha B'Av, but I'm interested in the Haftorahs that were actually chosen for Yom Kippur. If there were a day that I think many of us, if there were a word that many of us would associate with the day of Yom Kippur, I think that the first word that would come to mind might very well be tshuva. I think that's what would in fact come to mind. In light of that, it's very interesting to me that the Haftorah that is chosen, particularly for the morning, and I would argue even for the afternoon, but the afternoon is a little less clear, is actually not a Haftorah chosen for the purposes of tshuva. The Haftorah of Yom Kippur morning is a very powerful Haftorah. The basic part of the Haftorah is Perek Nun Ches of Yeshayahu. Kirav Garon Al Tachsoch. There is a Haftorah, however, that if you were looking for a Haftorah of Tshuva, I might very well have expected it to have been read on Yom Kippur. And that is a Haftorah that we read perhaps more than any other Haftorah during the year. And that is the Haftorah of Dirshu. We know the Gemara in Yevamos, it's quoted by the Rambam, states Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matza'o, as opposed to God being available at all times. When is Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matza'o? So that's in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. For the Tzibur, God is available year-round, for the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even for the Yechidim. Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matza'o. The theme of Dirshu is about tshuva. It's about transformation. Yazov Rasha Darko V'ish Oven Machshev Osav. Right? It's not even about specific acts per se, kapara and tshuva for specific acts. It means changing your ways. It means changing the way you think. In Torah, thought, with the exception of one Avera, is generally speaking not an Avera. Thinking about an Avera, except for Avodah Zarah, planning to an Avera is not an Avera. One is not, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara Kiddushin says, is not mitzarif et tamaisa. So Dirshu is really the quintessential Haftorah of tshuva, of personal transformation. But the Haftorah of Yom Kippur morning is not that at all. The Haftorah of Yom Kippur morning is the Haftorah that we might describe as being one of social justice. Except for, I don't like that term because it's taken on certain kinds of valences and I think it's important. I would say something a little different. Yeshayahu Nun Ches is essentially and primarily about protecting the vulnerable. The Navi criticizes the Jewish people for thinking that fasting is about bending your head in prayer, about torturing one's soul, halanos adam nafsho. And the Navi says that's not what God wants from you. That's not the Tzom Evcharehu. The Tzom Evcharehu is Pateach Hartzubos Resha Hater Agudos Mota. It means to loosen the chains of oppression. It means to bring the Aniya Merudim into the bias. It means to take care of the poor, to take care of the weak, to take care of the vulnerable. I would argue that in many ways that is actually the theme of Sefer Yonah as well. I know that Sefer Yonah contains in it tshuva. But I believe that if you look at the beginning of Sefer Yonah and you look at the end of Sefer Yonah, it's not about what we would call the classic tshuva. I've done Averos, I do tshuva, I need to get kapara. The Radak notes, if you look in the story of Yonah, why is Yonah sent to Nineveh? He's told to go to Nineveh. God says, Ki alsa ra'asam lefanai, because their evil has come up to me. You read that expression, it's an interesting expression. The evil reaches God. When you look throughout Tanakh, there are lots of Averos in the Torah, but there's really fundamentally only one class of Averos that rise to the Ribono Shel Olam. perhaps the resonance immediately that should come to you is Tzaka Sodom and Amora. That's Hakitzaka Soha Ba Elai. Right? That's not Avodah Zarah. It's not Bittul Torah. It's not failure to do Tefillah and Kriya Shema. It's not Machalos Asuras. It's not even what you might call Arayos in the Bein Adam LaMalkom sense. The Avera of Sodom and Amora, the Avera of Nineveh, was Hamas. It was the violence in society. It was the oppression of the poor, the weak. It was the perversion of justice. You just read the beginning of Yeshayahu, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz. That's what it's all about. It's all about, you think that you're serving God by bringing karbanos? It's trampling on God's courtyards because you're corrupt. The Radak writes on the expression Ki Alsam L'Rafanai. He says the following. V'lo kosav mayikrala. He didn't tell Yonah first what would be. What would be the prophecy? Elamimasha kara alea besof. V'ninve nepaches. Later, when Yonah makes the announcement, Odar bar yom v'ninve nepaches. Lamadnu kizo sakriya amar lo sheyikra leha. Why? Ki also rasam lefanai. Limeid ki ha'el yisbarach mashkiach af be'umos ha'olam kishetigdal ra'asam b'chamas. When their evil becomes too great in violence, in societal corruption, in oppression of the weak, that's when it happens. V'chein b'dor ha'mabul ki mala'a ha'aretz chamas mipineihem. Uva'anshei Sedom, ki mala aretz chamas. V'hachamas mafsid hayishuv. Avodah Zarah, Chilul Shabbos, Machalos Asuros, the violation of those averos, as great as they are, do not destroy society. V'ha'el Yisparach rotze b'yishuv ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to be a civilized place. Avol b'shar averos enam chashuvim lefanam. Other Averis, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes cheshbon with us. But only Hamas, only violence, only perversion of justice, only oppression of the vulnerable and the weak, that is what generates God's intervention. Yonah, at the end of the Sefer, is very unhappy, as you know. And what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say to him? He doesn't say to him, I want to be Ma'adif Tshuva. There is tshuva. They do tshuva. And Yonah serves as the model of tshuva. The model of tshuva is not fasting and tearing one's begotten. It's kiru levavchem yal bigdechem. Tshuva is real tshuva. Not tovel v'sheretz biyadam. But Yonah's upset. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, va'ani lo achus. You were chas on the kikayon. You thought this poor kikayon was beaten by the sun and died. You're worried about the plant. Va'ani lo achus al ninveha irak dola. I'm not going to have mercy. I'm not going to have compassion upon this great city. What's the greatness? Not that it was a great city of culture or a great city of military prowess, but rather, Asher Yeshba Harbei Mishte Mesrei Ribo Adam. There are more than 120,000 people, Asher Lo Yada Benyamin Lo Spalam, who have no clue, who don't know, who aren't the brilliant members of high society. They are the vulnerable people, Uvema Rabba, other creatures of God. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to have compassion upon all of my brios? You're worried about a kikayon? Where's your compassion for the vulnerable, for the weak, for the rank and file of society? The Haftorah of Yonah, in that sense, is the same theme as the Haftorah of the morning. I believe that there are, fundamentally speaking, two kinds of tshuva. In the shir I'm going to deliver today, that's going to be a large piece of what I talk about. There is a tshuva that represents personal transformation. That's the tshuva that we read about on every tzom. That's dirshu. That's the tshuva of all year. All year is a project to be working on changing who we are. A tshuva that not just fixing past transgressions, but becoming a different person. But you know what the major theme of Yom Kippur is? It's not tshuva. But rather, as the day would suggest, the name of the day, and if you read the Torah's description of the day, the primary theme of Yom Kippur is kapara. You know what kapara means? It means to wipe. It means to clean up. As Rashi says, the kforei hazahav, the kforei hazahav in Ezra Nehemiah or Divrei Hayamim, these kelim in the mikdash, you know why they're called kforei hazahav? Because the kohen would clean off his finger on the edge. He would wipe his finger. It's an Aramaic word the Gemara has. Like, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lipara me'amo uboi l'chapure yada bahu gabra. He wants to wipe his hands on that person. Yom HaKippurim is a day of atonement. It's not a day of transformation. It's a day of cleaning up the mess we've made all year. It's about specific averos. It's not about personal transformation. Hence, the avodah and the mikdash is all about kapara, about the specific avonos. It's why it's conceivable even to have kapara without tshuva. The Rebbe Shita is that the Sar Lazos, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, maybe and without the Avodah, is mechapar on all averos except for three, even if you don't do tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says it's mechaper on kalos. The vidui on the Sar LaZazel is mechaper on all your kalos, which are aseis and los aseis that don't involve kares, with the exception of Shuva Shav. You don't even do tshuva, but Yom HaKippurim is mechaper, because sometimes you don't have to have regret to clean up a mess. You can be stupid and careless and knock the milk over for the seventh time, and your mother or your wife or your father or your sister or your brother screams at you. And you know what? You can clean up the mess. You can even pay for the milk. You haven't changed, but you've done kapara. You've wiped off what you've done. Yom HaKippurim is a day of kapara for specific avonos. And therefore, the haftorah is not the haftorah of dirshu. That's about the transformation of a person. But Yom HaKippurim, we have to clean up the mess that we made all year. And what is the mess that Chazal in the haftorahs choose to emphasize for us? It's not the mess if we were Mechalo Shabbos, presumably B'shogeh. It's not the mess if we perhaps accidentally ate something we shouldn't have eaten. We ate milk too soon after meat. We ate something, we made a mistake in the Hashgacha. We were too lazy and we just assume it's good, even though it may be there are problems in the Hashgacha. That's not the mess that we have to clean up. The mess we have to clean up is Pateh Chartzuvos Resha Hater Agudos Mata. Mota, kisire arom v'chisiso umibsar chalos isalam. It's the obligation to take care of the vulnerable people, to not abuse them, and not only to not abuse them and pervert justice, but to protect them as well. The Gemara in Baba Metzia quotes a statement of Rabbi Yochanan: Lo charva Yerushalayim, ela al shadonu ba din Torah. Yerushalayim was only destroyed because they were done din Torah there. The Gemara immediately asks and says, what else should they have done? Dina dam gushe, some foreign law. So the Gemara says, Ela al shalo osu lifrim mishuras hadin. Yeah, of course, they were done din Torah. My rights, your rights, the law yikov adin isahor. But Yerushalayim was destroyed because of that. And I don't understand. Just because they didn't do lifnim mishuras hadin? Isn't lefnum shuras adin super negative? Isn't it, you know, a cherry on top of the cake? You don't get a gold star for doing only din. But Yerushalayim was destroyed? So the answer is, society cannot exist when we only do din. And why is that? So I think the answer is rather simple. Why is it that halacha places such a premium on lefnim mishuras adin, so much so that there are positions in Rishonim and Achronim that kufin al lefnim mishuras adin, which seems to be almost the stira minei ubei? How can you force someone to do lefnim mishuras adin? And even without that, why is it so important? The answer is as follows. The way we treat other people is the way we expect to be treated. And that's true by the Ribono Shalom as well. Who is the person with the arrogance and fearlessness and chutzpah to go on Yom Kippur before the Ribono Shalom and say, judge me according to my merits? Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he prayed to get into Eretz Yisrael, it was Va'es Hanan. He had plenty of merits, but he didn't appeal to them. He asked for a matnas chinam. He didn't want to rely upon his merits, because who knows how God would judge him? How dare one walk in front of the Ribono Shalom and ask to be judged by din? Because we know we all have averus. We have all things that we've done wrong. And our result would be immediately to be nidon lemisa. We want to come to the Ribono Shalom and say, God, I'm not perfect. I made mistakes. I struggle. I'm a human being. Please don't judge me lefi midas hadin. The Ribono Shalom can say to us, okay, how do you treat other people? So the answer is, if we treat other people lefnim mishuras hadin, right? If the ani, I'm entitled to collect from him, but I don't because I can manage without it. I can manage without it, so I choose not to enforce all of my rights. I act lefnim mishuras hadin. Then I can walk to the Ribono, go to the Ribono Shalom and say, you know, my master, my father in heaven, please have mercy on me. I know that I don't deserve to be judged favorably. Please do lifnim mishuras hadin. Please do lifnim mishuras hadin. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that when Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he encountered the Ribono Shel Olam, and the Ribono Shel Olam asked him for a bracha. And what he asked, when he gave the bracha to Ribono Shel Olam, was that he ratzon that your midas harachamim should be kovesh your midas hadin. What we want, what the Kohen's prayer, what his bracha for the Ribono Shel Olam on Yom Kippur was, judge us lifnim mishuras hadin, not al pidin. Because al pidin, there's no chance that we would survive. So that's the reason why we read Krave Garon al Tachsoch. But I always wondered, that's the beginning of the section, and that's the major part of the Haftorah. That's not actually, however, where we begin the Haftorah. The Haftorah begins at the end of Perek Nun Zayin. V'yomar solu solu panu darech harimu mishalmi darech ami. Ki cho amar ram v'nisa shochet ad v'kadosh shemo marom v'kadosh eshkon. This is God who is exalted. He's Ram V'Nisa. He dwells holy and apart all the way up in the heavens. And you know where else he dwells? V'es daka u'shfal ruach. L'hachayos ruach shefalim u'lachayos leim nitka'im. He dwells in the heavens, and he also dwells with those who are crushed and lowly of spirit to uplift them. The Gemara in Megillah states that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, wherever you find a description of God's power and might and exaltedness, that's also where you find his humility. God is God of gods, King of kings, Master of masters. Uchsiv basrei, oseh mishpat yasom va'almana. He is the one who enforces the justice for the orphan and for the widow. Shonei b'nevim, koamar ram v'nisa shochen ad v'kadosh, uchsiv basrei v'estaka u'shval ruach. The pasuk that we will read on Shabbos. And finally, meshulosh b'ksuvim d'chsiv, solu l'roche barach vos, b'kashimo, Uchsiv Basrei, Avi Yisomim, V'dayan Almanos. He is the father of the orphans and the judge, the one who makes justice for the widows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is greater than everything and everyone, understands the importance of uplifting the vulnerable, the weak, the poor, the widow, the orphan. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. Our responsibility, if we wish to achieve kapara on Yom HaKippurim, is to take that lesson to heart. Rashi, in Parshas Re'eh, quotes what seems to be a Medrash Agada. The Torah speaks about V'samach to lefnei Hashem Elokecha on Shavuos. Atov en chavitecha v'avdecha v'amasecha. Rashi says there are Arba Shali and Arba Shalcha. Your four are your son, your daughter, your manservant, and your maidservant. My four are the Levi, who was typically poor, the Ger, who was typically impoverished, the Yasom and the Almana. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you be Mesameach my four, and I'll be Mesameach your four. That's the deal. You take care of the vulnerable and the weak and the impoverished, and I will take care of you. We walk around in a world where this is not the contemporary ethos of how society runs. And sometimes, even when there are people who speak high and mighty about social justice and about against what you might call privilege, and privilege certainly exists in all classes, races, communities, religions, and so on, some more than others, but they sometimes don't realize in the process they trample upon others. I think that Yom Kippur, as a day of kapara, and a day to reflect upon how we deal with the vulnerable, is a time to think about the privilege that we often have, that which the Ribbono Shalom has granted us. Everyone in this room has this chus to be mitzuva in the mitzvahs of the Torah. That is a chus not to be forgotten. Mitzvos, being a mitzuva, even though it's hard sometimes, is a distinct gift that the Ribbono Shalom has given us. Our tradition and our culture is a gift that was given to us by our ancestors. It is a gift to belong to a community which has a rich tradition and rich values. Most of us come from a relative degree of affluence. Most of us, compared to most of the rest of this society and Kal Vachomer to most of the rest of the world, do not worry about where the next meal is coming from. Maybe we can't get the expensive thing. Maybe we have to get the slightly less expensive thing. Maybe we have to eat noodles and tuna fish because, you know, we can't afford the more expensive food. But we know that there's always, almost all of us know that there's food on the table. Most of us are privileged to go to good schools, live in safe communities, know that what lies ahead for us are employment in industries that are not considered lowly, that are treated, relatively speaking, better. There's always a totem pole, but most of us will find ourselves in situations pretty high up on that totem pole. It is easy to forget. It is easy to forget what the Ribbono Shalom has given us. That's the first mistake. But then it's easy to either look down and ignore the people who have so much less, who often do the things that we need to make our high lifestyles function. The people who clean our floors, the people who protect us, the people who keep us safe, they usually don't get paid as well as the people they're protecting or treated as well. You walk into a building, right, and you pass the security guards, many of whom come from communities and homes and situations where they have far fewer opportunities and are paid far more poorly than most of the people who work even in this institution. As bad as the professors and the rabbi might complain about how they're paid compared to some others, said we are paid like kings compared to most of the people who allow us to function in this building to work. We are paid like kings. There's nothing any one of us often can do about that in terms of changing everything there. But you know, when you walk into the building, you can think about that if not for the grace of God, maybe you would be the security guard and the person there with his neshama, which is as precious as yours, could have been the person walking into the Beis Medrash. It means that you respect people who do those jobs, that you greet them in a way that's appropriate. You greet them, you know, b'lev shalem, and with a smile and with a warm greeting, because you know, in many, many cases, you may have more than them, but you're not any better than they are. But the way the world has worked, the way the goral of the world has worked, is that you are from the more fortunate, and very often, although some of them may be deeply appreciative of the fortune that they have, many often the people who work here or the people you pass in the street are from the less fortunate. You pass a person in the street who's homeless, so you know, it's hard. We understand the difficulty. Many years ago, we had a mayor who made it his policy, which everybody in the city liked, you know, and the drivers like myself who came in also liked, to ban the squeegee people when you get off the bridge, to ban panhandling. And there's a part of it that I understand. But there's a part of it that is actually terrible. It's actually terrible because it allows us to close our eyes from the suffering, which we'd like to do because we'd like to pretend it's not there. We'd like to pretend that everything is good and there aren't lots of people who are weak and vulnerable and hurting. They say that in Vilna, when they wanted to make a new takana, if it was something new, they would go to consult the Vilna Gaon. Otherwise, they wouldn't bother him. So they decided they wanted to make a takana that the aniyim couldn't walk around the city and collect to go to people's houses. They would come to the central point, the gabe, and the gabe would give them whatever he would give them. He'd make an estimation and decide. So they decided they wanted to do that, but they decided to ask the gra first. And the gra apparently responded and said, I don't know why you're bothering me with this takana. This is not a new takana. It existed already many years ago in the city of Sidon. I understand, every one of us understands, the desire not to be bothered at the door, not to have the meshulah come to the door, not to have the person who's panhandling. And I know, as I think Rabbi Yosef or somebody said, we give thanks to the ramoim, the people who cheat in tzedakah, because if not for them, we would be punished, because someone who's malim einav in hatzaka is like he's an oved avodah zara, because it only says b'liyal by yerani dachas and b'liyal by malim einav min hatzaka. Pen yeh davar en lev chavliyal emar, kavar shnas tasev shnas hashmita. But because there are ramayim, we're malamei tzchus for ourselves that, look, he's probably, you know, he's doing this on the side, he really doesn't need this, and so on. We're malamei tzchus. Whatever decision, whatever, and that's nice. That's very nice. But you know, a lot of these people are poor. Certainly people on the street most of the time don't choose to be homeless because they have the money and could rent an apartment or could easily get a job but just don't want to work. Maybe there are some people like that, but in most cases it's not like that. I'm not telling you what you should do specifically under the circumstances. Some people would say, well, you shouldn't give them because you're feeding their habit. I used to think that way. I'm not sure I agree with that anymore. But either way, whatever you exactly do, you walk by there, you should understand something. You should understand how fortunate you are, and you should understand how vulnerable you are. You know, even if you don't give something to the person, you can still wish them a good morning. You can still wish them a good day. You can still smile at them. Because trust me, they are vulnerable, and they are weak, and they have far less than you do. This is true in our community. It's true out of our community. It's true everywhere. Within our community, there are vulnerable people as well. It's not just that in our community, vulnerability is sometimes relative and that the haves and the have-nots, but there are people who are suffering in various circumstances. Right? When one deals with sensitive issues, whether people who are struggling with various kinds of mental illness, or one deals with people who are dealing with issues such as homosexuality, while one should never, chas v'shalom, approve of something that's an aveira, understand that there are people who are suffering genuinely. And your job is not to increase their pain, but to mitigate their pain. Your job is to be sympathetic and to listen to people who are suffering, whatever the issue that they're suffering from is. Your job is to offer a listening ear. You can't solve everybody's problems, and sometimes that's not what you're asked to do. But you're asked to have sympathy and to have empathy and to have compassion and understanding and not to rub salt in the wounds. If there's somebody who suffers from a particular issue, whatever it is, so often there is stigma attached to it and there's belittlement attached to it. And that's not okay. You can't fix all the problems, but you're obligated to engage in what we might call vaniyim rudim tavibayis, kisira aram v'chisiso, not only in its literal manifestation, but it means in protecting people. Today we have a society in which there's a greater sensitivity, but still not enough, to people who are suffering from various kinds of mental illness. But I remember a particular student of mine who was probably autistic, brilliant student, and I didn't know him well. I knew him in elementary school, but one of the things that I was told by his parents is that in his school, he had a posse of kids who protected him. They appreciated him for who he was, for his talents, and understood his challenges, and they protected him. So as opposed to what would have happened, certainly when I was a student, and probably still happens often now, instead of a child like that being made fun of by peers, he had some peers who were sensitive enough to recognize his vulnerability, and instead of exploiting it, to protect it and to celebrate him for who he was. And while that may be an extreme manifestation, it's true in every way. I once had a conflict as to what to do, because two students of mine were getting married. One of them, I think, asked me to be Mesadah Kiddushin. It was out of town. I think that was the case. And the other one was a student, you know, who I thought was a very sensitive soul who was getting married in town. And I asked Roshechta what to do. I said, what do you do with it? It was a psach. It was an eitzah. And he said to me the following, something that has stuck with me, and it's been a good number of years, but really, really made a deep impression on me. He said that when he has two talmidim getting married, he tries to figure out who has the bigger chevra and who really doesn't have a chevra. And then he goes to the wedding of the latter person. Because the person who has the chevra has the guys who are going to be mesameach. So if he can't be there, yes, it would add to the simcha because Reshechter is there. But the person who really doesn't have so much, for him, the presence of Shechter adds so much more. Adds so much more. Because that chassan, who also wants to have simcha, is so much more vulnerable than the person who has the chevra, who's the chevra man. That has left upon me an enormous, enormous impression. Enormous impression. It's why I say it's not the only reason why Rebbe is a tzaddik. Right? The sensitivity to people who have less, people who have suffering. Right? Even though you're not suffering from that, doesn't matter. So that is, in fact, I believe, the message of Haftaras of Yom Kippur. I speak for myself. I probably have too many chataim not to be at balance, outweighed by nizachuyas I might have, to go to the Ribbono Shel to make a cheshbon and say, do I come out zakai achayev? My only chance is to go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for racham. Ask him with Rabbi Yishmael's bracha to do lifnim mishuras adin. And in order for me to be able to go and do that on Yom Kippur, and in order for any one of us to go to Yom Kippur, our commitment has to be of what both Haftorahs teach us, but especially the Haftorah in Yeshaya. And I just think it's worth reading in full. Halozetzo mevcharehu, pateach hartzubos rasha, undo the bounds or the ropes of wickedness, hater agudos mota, and undo the bundles of iniquity. Vishalach ritzutzim chafshim, and send out those who are crushed, send them free. V'chol matonadateku, every yoke, you should smash apart. Halo faros la'ra'ev lachmecha, break your bread for the hungry person. Va'aniyim rudim tavi bayis, and the downtrodden aniyim bring into your house. Kisira aron v'chisiso, when you see the unclothed person, cover him. U'mibsar chalo sisalam, and even from your own, don't close your eyes. Ozi baka kashachar orecha, then your light will break out like the morning. Baruchas chamei rasitzmach, and your healing, your scabs will sprout quickly. Then your righteousness will walk before you. The glory of God will gather you in. Then when you call out, God will answer. Tishava, you will pray, you will beseech. And God will say, I am here. Im tosir mitochacha mota, shlach etzba v'daber oven. If you remove from your midst iniquity and any in its various forms, but with your hands, with your speech, not just your bread, but to the poor person, you will give your nefesh, you will give your compassion, you will give your listening ear. The nefesh na'ana taspia, the afflicted soul, you will satisfy, you will save. Then the zarach bach shoshech orecha, then your darkness will turn into light, and your shadows, the depths of your darkness will be like midday. That is the message of the Haftarah of Yom Kippur, and that is what every one of us should be thinking about on Yom Kippur. It's not about a tshuva of personal transformation. It's about a tshuva of fixing the things, the specific things we've done wrong. And the focus is supposed to be not so much on the mitzvah ben adab lamakom, but rather on creating a just society, in taking care of the poor, the weak, the vulnerable. Because we, too, as we stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom Kippur, belong to the vulnerable. I hope that everybody, every one of us, every one of our community, every one of Klal Yisrael, and everyone in the world will be zoche for Gemar Chasima Tova, and a year that is full of blessing and good, and justice, and less suffering. Kajantif.